coming to meet you, so you wouldn't have to climb. Thank you, sir. All right. So as we continue on this truth, one of the sad things I see, and though there's a lot of cheating in recent elections and a lot of false votes in recent elections, millions of them in the last election, to where we have a president that hardly anybody voted for, but he became president because of all the cheating. The thing is that you still have a vote as an American. And you don't realize how powerful it is till you realize how much these guys are willing to pay for your vote. Sometimes the votes that these candidates, when they're running for office, will end up paying over $3,000 to $5,000 a vote. When the ads are up and all the thing is out there, you say, well, my vote doesn't count. Well, don't give up so easy. If that's all you can do, do it. And maybe one day soon they'll have a free and fair, legitimate election. And we'll see how many traditional people and how many Christians are really involved. I want you to turn to John chapter 15 and verse 9. John chapter 15 and verse 9. And this has to do with the part of the America I love, and that is worth sacrificing for. And that is those who we sang in the song, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. Those men that, we're talking about. Here's Brother Philip, who was in the service, and Brother Jim, who was in the service. And me, for my time in the service, I guess, although I don't consider I was in the Coast Guard, which is a lot better than the Air Force for the most part, a lot harder. But in the Air Force, you have certain jobs that are very, very integral, and it take a lot. But either way, the patriotism behind it is why I'd rather die in a little boat in a little bit of water than fall from the sky in a big old Air Force plane. And I hear the stories about the tiger sharks on the Navy ships that were sunk during World War II, how they followed those Navy ships. John chapter 15 and verse 9, we're going to talk about a true patriotic spirit or a true memorial, and that is John chapter 15, beginning in verse 9. Notice what this verse is so powerful. Is somebody playing cartoons? Is that Bugs Bunny or Daffy Duck?
It was a baby.
It was a baby. Oh, okay. Babies are allowed. Song, verse number 9. These verses in John, they're just so small and maybe a two-syllable word here or there, but so powerful. So John 15, verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. How much did Jesus love you? As the Father loved his own Son. That's amazing. Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, notice he doesn't say if you keep the commandments or Moses' commandments. Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That should be a very easy commandment to obey, should it not? To love one another the best we can by God's grace and with his help. Verse 12 again, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now he's going to talk about what kind of love this is. And it is a self-sacrificing love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Well, how did you love us? I left heaven for you. I left the anthems and praises of angels and heavenly beings, the seraphim, for the blasphemy, the spit, the beatings, the slander, the lies. He said, just for you. And so verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Let me repeat that again. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And that's what really Memorial Day is supposed to be about. Not turkey, basketball, beer, none of these other things. To be about remembering those who more than self their country loved. Remembering those who were willing to lay down their lives for our freedom and for our way of life, for our culture, our traditions that they saw as being very precious to a people and a culture called America. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Father, bless your word to our hearts now. And Heavenly Lord and Savior, we pray that you would help us to see the greatest friend of all in you, that you are not only our Father, our Daddy, that you're not only our Savior and our elder brother, but that you are the very essence of everything we need, of everything we live for, of not only the sustenance of our life, but the very best friend since before we were born. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Memorial Day, just a historical wise, I may have told you this before, but it was an American product. It's an American celebration, uniquely American. Memorial Day didn't begin after the Revolutionary War. The celebration of the July 4th became the most important holiday for many, many years here in the United States. It was bigger than Christmas, bigger than Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving basically had its roots in the days of Abraham Lincoln as well. And Memorial Day was when the women in the Confederate South began decorating the graves of fallen husbands and sons. Now, one of the bad things that's taught in American schools is that the South was fighting for slavery, and the North was fighting against slavery. Well, there was a lot of slavery in the North. In fact, a lot of the slave owners in the North were black people that owned black slaves. And the people in the South, most of them, Confederate soldiers, had never even seen a black man, had never even seen a slave. Well, then why were they fighting? They were fighting for states' rights. To them, it was a matter of whether the federal government was going to tell them and throw down their throats everything they had to do, or whether they had a vote in their local area, where they had a vote in their state legislature for how they wanted their government to be. And they looked at the Civil War as the North saying, you have to do what we say. The Southern said, no, we're independent states. We have our state legislature. We have our state capital. We have a redress to our grievances locally. The federal government said, no, you're going to do what we say. Now, slavery was a big component, but Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, some of the greatest generals in the South in history, did not fight the Civil War to maintain slaves. They fought because they wanted Virginia to be independent. Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson were both from Virginia. They were offered high office, general status, if they would join the Union and fight against slavery. But they couldn't, not because they loved slavery, but because they loved their state's rights. Every state has its right. Every state has its constitution in the United States. In most of the states, did you know this? That to become a political officer in that state, a mayor, governor, you start naming different things. You have to. It's still in the state constitutions. You can read it. You have to profess to be a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I mean, this is the first time you heard that. Well, those constitutions go way back to the 1700s. They go back in Georgia to 1776, the 13 colonies, 1776. And in each one of those, there is a place in their constitution where it states that all the officers, elected officers to that state, have to be professing believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's very plain and simple. And it's still in many, if not most, of our state constitutions. And so they wanted that. But when Memorial Day began, women in the Confederate South began decorating the graves of their fallen husbands and sons. Notice it wasn't the rich fallen husbands and sons, because those were the plantation owners, and they didn't fight. They sent their slaves out to fight. And so they also began placing flowers on the graves of the Union soldiers, and it caught on from there. See, the Civil War was family against family. It's like what the CIA is trying to start with Ukraine and Russia. These people spoke each other's languages. These people were related to each other. Why more Americans died in the Civil War is because it was all Americans. You had Connors that were on the Union side and Connors on the Southern side. You had Lees that were on the Union side and Lees that were on the Southern side. You had brothers. How many of you knew this? You had brothers from the same family that had chosen different sides that were shooting at each other. Brother in war with his brother. And so they not only observed placing them on the graves of Confederate soldiers, which means without federal, Confederate, which lets you know that they were not for a strong federal government over telling their state what to do. And so these flowers placed on the grave of Union and Confederate soldiers caught on in Arlington Cemetery, which was Robert E. Lee's property before the federal government, confiscated it and made the Robert E. Lee's property into the National Cemetery for the United States. It was about that time that a person named Moyna Michael wrote, "We cherish the poppy red that grows on fields where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies that blood of heroes never dies." Today we honor the blood of heroes. That's what Memorial Day is all about. On Memorial Day, we're supposed to remember our patriots. Webster defined patriot as one who loves his or her country and supports its authority and interest. Now, let me ask you, what is our authority and interest? Is it promote to transgenderism stuff all over the world? Russia looks at it as a great enemy. They look at this stuff, the rainbow flags and everything. So does these other countries, Middle Eastern countries. They look at it as an assault from the West to destroy the family, to destroy their freedom. And so they do not have any respect for our current leadership whatsoever. They consider it an attack. But as we remember our patriots, it is one who loves his or her country, supports its authority. Our authority is not what our president says. What is our authority? God. Number two, the Constitution. And that's it. That is our authority. You say, but we have a president. No, you forget, we the people of the United States of America. It's a government, as Lincoln said, it's of the people, by the people, and for the people. And the thing that's strong about the vote is that when you get on the phone with your representative, you can tell them, I'm a voting member, a citizen of America, and I will vote for you if you follow the Constitution, and I will vote against you if you turn your back on the American people. In other words, Romans 13 doesn't apply on its government verses to Americans because we are the grand experiment in history. We are a government not with kings and prime ministers and emperors and monarchs and dictators. We are a nation that's ruled by ourselves, our vote. And when you don't exercise that, you are giving up your authority to be represented by someone who represents the interests of God and Constitution, country, your rights. Where did your rights come from? They come from Washington, D.C.? They come from George Washington? They come from crooked Joe Biden. Your rights are certain and inalienable rights given to you by your creator. The Constitution says it, and the Declaration of Independence, your rights are inalienable. They are given to you by your creator, and that is your rights to life. Do we take that right away here in America? Life. Well, look at all the Planned Parenthood clinics. Look at all the abortion doctors. See, I could never, ever vote for somebody who believes in abortion, because the inalienable right we have from God is life. Then liberty. And liberty doesn't mean licentiousness. Liberty doesn't mean you could live as stupid as you want to and get away with it. You can walk into Walmart, steal anything, or go and shoot anybody, or be as racist and stupid as you want to be and get away with it. Liberty means that you are free to follow God with your conscience as you wish, as you serve Him. But some people look at that liberty and think, yeah, I have the right to be as stupid as I want. Well, you do, until your stupidity takes away from another's freedom. You're free to do this all day long, as long as you don't hit somebody, as long as you don't hurt somebody, you're free. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All these people fight, oh, we need welfare here, and we need this affirmation over here, and we need reparations over here, and we want our rights. Does the Constitution guarantee anybody happiness? No. It says, and the pursuit of happiness, which means if you have a passion, if you want to be the best cook in your county, you want to be the best cook in your state, if you want to be the best plumber, if you want to be the best mathematician, if you want to be the best electrician, if you want to be the best, or whatever you want to do, or you don't want to be the best, you just want to do it, you're allowed to pursue that. Does it mean you'll always make it? No. You know, Larry Bird grew up in French Lick, Indiana, which today, when he was growing up, it didn't have a stoplight. They have a stoplight there now, one stoplight. But that guy wanted to be the best basketball player he could be. Now, you're familiar with Indiana, aren't you, Brother Philip? You're familiar with Larry Bird. He would get to the game before anybody else. He would get to practice before anybody else. He would have shot and practiced 300 shots from all over the court before anybody else pulled up in the parking lot. He wanted to be the best. He pursued it. And even though it's been decades ago now, what has it been, since 1991 that he retired, or 92? He just flat out had his back all busted up, his feet all busted up, and spurs in his feet, and he left the game. But to this very day, he's still in the argument of who is the greatest of all basketball players. People say LeBron James, but his stats don't match Larry Bird's. Some people say this, that, and the other one. We could have our own opinions. It doesn't really matter. All I'm saying is that Larry Bird pursued his quest, his dream, to be the best basketball player ever. And we still argue about it today. America doesn't promise you happiness. It promises you the opportunity. It doesn't promise you your equal pay for equal work. It promises you the opportunity. You want to be a dentist? You want to be down in the mouth? You want to be a psychiatrist? Whatever you want, you have the opportunity. And that's what it promises, the opportunity to do what we think would make us happy. Patriots, good men, and a few great women have died and left their blood on foreign fields and in America so that you could have your right to pursue happiness. In Cuba, can you be a doctor if you want to be? No, just 90 miles off the American coast. No, you can't be a doctor. You're going to work in the sugarcane field. I want to be a psychotherapist. I want to be a plumber. Can you be a plumber in Cuba if you want to be a plumber? No. You're already in a caste system. The only people that can be a plumber in Korea, North Korea, or in Cuba, or in a communist country, are those whom the government says, we'll let you be a plumber. And as long as you keep this picture above your mantle in your house and everything, I will, we won't come and kill you. You know what? This is where we live, has been protected by the lives, the blood, the sweat, the tears, the PTSD of soldiers who joined the service, not to get a sexual, physical thing, operation, but who went into the service because they loved their moms and dads, they loved their brothers and sisters, and when they were going to be called to free, to defend that freedom, they were ready. A lot of them went in because it was the cheapest way into college. You know what? I respect that. Because you'll go to college and get a degree in lesbian dance gender theory, and there'll be no place to use it ever. But a young man goes into the military thinking he wants to start a business or help other businesses. And he takes that part of his pay, and it goes into his college education. When he finishes his 4 years or turns into 8 years, he's got his way through paid through college, and he doesn't have to pay all this exorbitant interest for a government loan to make his way through. But still, if he's called upon, or she's called upon, they have to love their country more than themselves. It's what Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Fellow patriots have freely, valiantly sacrificed their lives on the altar of freedom for you and I to be able to sit here today with our religious freedom. And by the way, lest you think that America was made in 1776, you need to realize that in 1602, our religious, our born-again, blood-washed, true blue, saved Jesus' Savior forefathers came and on a little ship called the Mayflower and landed in 1602 in Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts. That was 150-some years before we had the Declaration of Independence. We already had 13 colonies before we had the Declaration of Independence. We were already here farming and shipping and producing people like Patrick Henry and other great heroes among our forefathers. Let me go and talk to these. Love requires sacrifice. In just over 200 years, loved ones have waved the final goodbye to 1,543,946 American soldiers, not counting those who died in the War of 1812 when the British came to fight us again, the French-Indian Wars when we took on France and the Indians, the Mexican-American War. And they liberated over 1 billion people in foreign countries from tyranny, socialism, Nazism, and now they're embracing it in one political party. Verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to one give his life for his friends. How many people died on the beaches of Omaha and Normandy and so on that very first day, June 6th, what was it, 1942? Was it 1942 D-Day? Or is it 1943? Well, it was June 6th. And that was the great day, the D-Day invasion. And so thousands were killed in the first few moments. Within the first hour of trying to storm the beaches of Omaha, Normandy, the other beaches there. Within the first hour, thousands of Americans lay dead on the beaches of France to liberate those people, to save the world, to take care of freedom. Love requires service. A patriot is not only one who loves, but also supports the nation's authority. Our nation's authority is not politicians. It is the Constitution that they're supposed to uphold. Just chase a rabbit for a second, just 1 second. People have always said it's so hard to be a president, hardest job in the world. No, the hardest part of being a president is whether to go to war or not. But the easiest job in the world is already in a little book you can fit in your pocket. It's called the Constitution of the United States of America. You just follow those plain, simple, black and white rules and you're all right. What's difficult is when they get themselves in these silly situations by going after what they want, the power they want, the money they want, the popularism they want, instead of just sticking by and learning how to themselves give their lives for their friends. So, it is the American soldier who serves their nation that our way of life may continue, that we might be able to keep our freedoms. It's fading, it's going away, but it's not because of the soldier, it's because of their commanders in political office. It is the soldier, not the reporter or journalist, who has given us the freedom of the press. It is the soldier, not the poet, who has given the freedom of speech. It is the soldier, not the campus organizer, who has given us the freedom to demonstrate. And Constitution says demonstrate peacefully. It is the soldier who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag, and whose coffin is draped by the flag, whose sacrifice and service provides the freedom that allows a protester to burn the flag. And before I move to close, I can remember in the Coast Guard being on a rotational basis on the base where I was, and me and another fellow from Company Bravo, and this was not boot camp, this was after boot camp, but we knew each other when we had been in boot camp. We were given the privilege of going to an office there at, what was it, about 5 o'clock in the morning? Philip, you probably did this. But to receive the flag that was wrapped in a triangle, and then to take that flag out to the flagstaff on the base, and then to bring down the rope. There was a series of ways that we had to follow those rules to where the flag would never touch the ground, and to do it in an honoring way. And as reveille sounded in the morning, as reveille sounded, the flag was going up. And I noticed that morning, and my friend did too, as the rays of the sunrise were hitting that flag, I lied to you not, it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen in a morning that way. Just the rays of light coming through, and the red, white, and blue, and the stars on there. He said, you know, that's the most beautiful flag of any country in the world. And I had to agree because I was thinking the same thing. It had taken my breath away. Now, when I looked at that flag and saw that beauty, was I thinking of the CIA or FBI or the ATF or any of these freedom-stealing EPA type of government officials? No. I was thinking about my mom, my stepdad, my sister, my brother, my uncles, my aunts. I was thinking about my friends. I was thinking about the beautiful things I had seen in this country. I was thinking about the freedom I had, that I didn't have to join the Coast Guard. I wasn't drafted. I didn't have to be in the military. I chose to be in the military. The flag represented to me that morning all the blessings of the Constitution had for me. You say, Brother Ross, you talk about the Constitution like it's the Word of God. It is not the Word of God, but a lot of it is based on the Word of God. A lot of the things said in the Declaration of Independence. Ellen became a citizen in our country not too long ago, just a few years past. She knows more about American history than political parties in Washington, D.C. She had to learn to get her citizenship. Most of our politicians have never read the Constitution of the United States. Their jobs are very easy. Learn the little book. Do what it says. Don't do what it doesn't say. Amen. And so, it is a soldier who salutes the flag, who serves beneath it, whose coffin is draped by the flag, whose sacrifice and service provides a freedom that allows a protester to burn that flag. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And we remember our heroes. Webster again says, what is a hero? One that shows great courage. A person normally becomes courageous by performing an extraordinary, praiseworthy deed that is selfless, that it's more than self your country loves or that your friends you love. From the beginning, American soldiers have epitomized the word hero and demonstrated uncommon valor. How many of you know about Valley Forge? You remember that, right? General Washington, the Continental Congress is ready to surrender to the British. And here are the patriots hiding out in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. I've been through there on my truck. It gets cold. not far from the Great Lakes area, which gets cold. And the men there, they didn't have anything to eat for days. They were eating leather and trying to make a soup out of pieces of the leather. They were barefooted. They didn't have winter coats. You could follow the trails of Valley Forge through the blood of patriots' feet that had no shoes, no boots. No food, no shoes, no boots, freezing to death. That cold out there is bitter cold. It's not like California cold. I mean, that cold gets in your feet, your whole body gets cold. And these people were walking on bloody feet, dying of disease, dying of starvation. But they did not give up the fight. They kept fighting. And when General Washington would come outside of his tent, he prayed for him. There's paintings of him praying in the snow. Oh, God, please deliver us. Please deliver us from our enemies. God, please give us the victory. We want the freedom that you can give. We want the freedom to worship. We want the freedom that are in our amendments. And as he prayed, God did give them the victory. My stepdad had fought with Patton from the African campaign all the way across the Rhine. Excuse me. He was there at the Battle of the Bulge. Connie's dad fought in Okinawa. He was in the Pacific Theater. You know how many American soldiers we gave to free Okinawa? We had 140,000 casualties. 140,000 men, mainly Marines, bled and died on that island. They did it for you and me to have our freedom. It's so sad that we would let government or government agencies try to steal that freedom away. I have to move on. The American soldier stands for what is right because duty and service calls. They're not political pawns. They do it because they love their view of America. They assist and serve many in difficult, lonely days in faraway countries. Family, friends, and fellow patriots at home support them with love, care, prayer. They are our heroes. Now, I hate a lot of government people, but I love America. And when I see Americans thrown into a senseless war, I still support the soldiers. In the truck driving business, there's a lot of old white guys, a lot of old black guys with these long beards. And they have these old dirty hats. Vietnam veteran, where it has that special ribbon for a Vietnam veteran. I've been against the Vietnam War ever since I learned that Ho Chi Minh was reaching out to get in touch with America to talk to the French about how they were treating them in Vietnam. In case you didn't know, the French owned Vietnam, and they treated the Vietnamese like slaves and the scum of the earth. Vietnam was reaching out to the United States for help, just negotiating for help. And the United States government turned their back on helping Ho Chi Minh and the Vietnamese people. War started it. And a president was assassinated because he was pulling out of Vietnam. His name was John F. Kennedy. Because he saw that war, that battle wasn't worth American blood. He started bringing our boys home. You can say what you want to. You can call me stupid or whatever. I truly believe with all my heart, like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's running for president now. I believe with all of my heart that the CIA had President Kennedy killed. And I don't care if they talk about the magic bullet all they want from behind to Lee Harvey Oswald. That one that came from the front hit him in the neck, and the one that came from the front and blew his brains out onto the back of that thing. I think that was the CIA. Because they had given their souls to the military-industrial complex that wanted to spend a lot more money in Vietnam. And Kennedy didn't want us to be in Vietnam anymore. On Memorial Day, we should remember our freedom. Freedom isn't free. I'll close with these few words, so please give me your patience. Pastor Keith used to preach until sometimes 11:20. Every once in a while make it to 11:30. I'm honored to remind you of this, and so let me share this poem. I watched a flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young Marine saluted it, and then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so young, so tall, so proud. With hair cut square and eyes alert, he'd stand out in any crowd. I thought how many men like him had fallen through the years, how many died on foreign soil, how many mothers' tears, how many pilots' planes shot down, how many died at sea, how many foxholes were soldiers' graves. No freedom is not free. I heard the sound of taps one night when everything was still. I listened to the bugler play and felt a sudden chill. I wondered just how many times the taps had meant amen, when a flag had draped a coffin of a brother or a friend. I thought of all the children of the mothers and the wives, of fathers, sons, and husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea, of unmarked graves in Arlington. No, freedom isn't free. As you enjoy some time off, some of you, I know Nathan and I have to work and had to work yesterday. There's no such thing as these things for some people. But if you enjoy your days off and go out about to remember your regular business, my challenge to you is, even if you don't, while you're at work, it's the same. As you remember that you've been surrounded by patriots, remember your heroes, remember your freedom. While our sons and daughters right now, our brothers and sisters, our neighbors and their families, someone from their families, maybe overseas, maybe at Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany, maybe stationed at the DMZ between North and South Korea, maybe anywhere, but they're toiling, they're lonely. Remember them while they serve and while you enjoy the freedom you have by their sacrifice. As much as patriots have loved and served their countries, no one has ever served and loved his people like Jesus did us. Remember this passage where Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Well, Jesus laid down his life for even his enemies, you and me, sinners, at enmity with him. And then he showed us that we were elect. Remember that. He saved us first, then we realized that he had planned to save us from before eternity began. And so we pray that we would remember how the Lord Jesus gave his life for those like you and me. We had sinned against him. We had turned our backs on him. Yet in love for our souls, he gave his life for our sins and our eternal freedom from hell. What's the greatest thing, to be free from the tyranny of China or to be free from going to hell? What is greater, freedom to be whatever you want to be in this world or the freedom to live forever in heaven? That's what Jesus gave his life for. Jesus said this, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." You know, you have freedoms in America, but there's all kinds of rules and regulations that come with it too. You have freedom to drive, but you had to pay for it, didn't you? You still do. You have to follow these rules and regulations, or they'll take your car away, they'll take your license away. But if Jesus sets you free to run the streets of heaven however fast you want to run, that's a freedom that is free indeed. It will never pass away. The blood of patriots bought our nation's freedom. The blood of our precious Lord Jesus has bought us heaven's glories, heaven's joys, heaven's freedoms forever and ever and ever. And so, as we close this morning, let us remember our precious Savior and the freedom he provided for us, a forever freedom, to be free from sin, to be free from temptation, to be free from death, hell, and the grave, and any kind of suffering forever and ever. We talked about heaven last Sunday, remember? He set us free to enjoy all that forever and ever. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts now, in Jesus' name, amen.